We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam in the Morning podcast, brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers, where I get my wild country tires. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can. For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
All right. I've got to read some of these texts here. I love the texts that we get on the fan text line sometimes. You're
nice
flying.
Little caveat there.
You're flying. You don't like flying. I thought when you said I don't like traveling, I was like, whoa, wait. But yes, I you do not like being on airplanes. Tall man here, 6'7". Flying sucks. Road trips are much more manageable.
Fist pound to that man right there. Fist pound to you.
But
we can road trip it together.
Taking road trips.
Oh, you straight caravan, man. Caravan it. We'll eastbound and down this thing.
What a great song. Brick Breaker One.
Great matter. Movie. Great movie. Smoking the Bandit. Convoy, another good classic,
Convoy.
Classic movie. Classic movie.
This one, Cam, I tore my Achilles in December and had surgery shortly after. How long did it take you to start walking normally again? Thank you. I hate flying as well. See, these are the texts that I love.
Oh, it's a good one. That's a really good text.
I love it because it's like, hey, I listen to the show. I know you guys have been through some stuff before. And so just asking a question that you have experience with, but then throwing in at the end, I hate flying as well. Because that little caveat at the end there, that little add-on, you're 10 times more likely to get you to respond to that thing because we're kindred spirits here.
There could be somebody on that text line that says, Cam, you're an idiot, and I love flying. And I'm not going to look at that person as bad. It's like, okay, that's fair.
Hey, different that's strokes fair, are different strokes.
As for the Achilles thing,
yep.
Really, it really depends on how much effort you've been putting in. But when we say walk normally without a limp, when you get your calf and the atrophy comes back, you're looking at least three months. Going into that fourth month is when you'll start to get normal. That jump from 4 month to 7 month is your biggest gain. You'll see some really big gains athletically, or if you want to still be active and stuff like that. But stay diligent. If you have that kind of luxury, really do as much as you can, because it's just all about how much effort you put into your rehab.
Yeah, true that. And then we have a texter who may be onto something. Ways that schools that aren't financially stable can cheat might be something that we should think about. It says OSU, you can pay with Reese's burritos and potato salad.
Oh, yeah. No, gosh.
Wazoo pays with Cougar Gold cheese. You know, you could come up with that for every school.
If you wanted to pay me in one currency right now, in a food currency, you could pay me in the spinach artichoke garlic dip that they have at Costco. That I think that's Reese's. It's a Reese's brand.
Yeah, man.
You just pay me in that currency, and I'd be like scratching a dog on the belly right now. It's like just kicking the legs. Like, oh, it's so good.
Reese's is so
good. Damn good.
Potato mac salad, potato salad. It's
see, not
good
for me on that, but boy, does that spinach.
You don't like? Wait, you don't like the potato salad?
No, don't like the mac salad. It's too
mayo-y.
Yeah, it's like putting a spoonful into Miracle Whip or something.
It's gross.
Okay.
But the Parmesan cheese and garlic and
it's really good.
Slice up some
soft pita bread.
No. That's not it.
You do the
no.
You're on the no.
Yeah, no. You take some fresh cut cucumbers.
Oh.
And you trim off just a little the sides. You still keep the peel on there, but you just trim a little bit. And you just with the cucumbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
You sound like you may need a moment over there.
It's wonderful.
Jeez. Let's get to it. The bells.
Decaf, Metcalf.
Nice job, you f***ing kicker.
Relax.
You like that?
Go Chargers, go.
On into the streets.
All right, we do it every Thursday.
Look at you, Buck, throwing in the fun stuff.
Every Thursday at this time, rapid fire NFL.
It was a drop of palooza.
Yeah. He's got the NFL page up. Buck's feeling the rhythm, feeling the rhyme. The sun's out, baby.
Feels great, baby.
Does feel great, baby.
It's time. Mm. All right, NFL rapid fire.
That doesn't give you goosebumps. You can pull your
streets.
Pull your lip over your head and swallow.
This has been Cam's euphoric segment here. You've got your spinach artichoke with cucumber talk. You get bells right after.
I mean, what else do you need? What else really do you need? Sun is shining, having a cup of coffee, mixing in some spinach artichoke, Parmesan dip, some cucumbers, and I get the damn bells.
Why'd the bells get paused? How'd that happen? All right.
I don't know. That was weird.
Let's go rapido, rapido. Starting with the NFL draft, they're doing a virtual mock draft. I'm assuming that they're doing this without...
actually picking people, because that would be giving away what they want.
Everybody's giving away what they're doing. So they're probably going to go
take John Elway. That's exactly what they're doing.
Exactly.
Take John Elway. John Elway's picking John Elway. By the way, if you're picking right now and you're a general manager, who's your first pick all time ever? Go. Right now. Go. All time ever. First pick ever. Go. You don't have time. All time pick.
Oh my God, that's so tough.
Why is that hard?
Picking who's the best GM?
No. You're the general manager. First pick all time. First pick NFL draft.
What do you mean all time? Like all the time best ever. Pick in the history of the NFL.
Your first pick.
Oh my God.
Who do you get
Reggie
to? Who are you picking? Your first pick
Reggie
ever,
White.
Ryan Buckley, ever in the history of the NFL. You're the general manager. You can pick anybody in the history of the NFL.
I guess
you're
I'm on taking the clock. Tom Brady.
Really?
Well, I don't know. He's won the most Super Bowls.
You can wait to the sixth round.
To get
but
him.
But knowing what we know now, you couldn't.
And that's the hard part about it is that, like, you got to put hype into it as well. And, like, are we looking at it from what their career became?
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Not just became, but just your favorite player. Or you think that's going to be you build with the first pick of the Cam Cleland Bitter Gingers, the Cleland Select, Bo Jackson from Auburn University. Hip. Not his bum hip. We're talking about who you think is the greatest.
He would Tampa Bay Buccaneers you. He'd go play
baseball.
No, he
wouldn't. No, he loves the bitters. Mm. Loves it. It's a good little add-in into your sweet vermouth, into your old fashioned.
Here we go. Will the NFL draft be hacked?
Manhattan. There will be bitters in Manhattan. Will it be hacked? Of course it's going to be hacked.
You think so?
Yes.
You honestly believe that?
Yes, it's going to be. Now, what does it mean to be hacked? Just put on pause? I mean, the Super Bowl was hacked. They shut down the Super Bowl when they cut the power. Everything's hackable. Don't act like the NFL is going to have some super unhackable thing.
Are you going with the Super Bowl power grid was hacked?
Of course it was. Of course that was. Yes.
Is this a conspiracy theory?
It's not a conspiracy. No,
that
was New Orleans.
Who
do you,
it?
No.
I thought
who
it was
do you think
overloaded.
Runs New Orleans? Who runs New Orleans?
The Mafia?
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I know, for sure. I know the people that power New Orleans.
Wait. Whoa. All right. It was hacked.
It was hacked. The NFL will have a problem. It will be hacked. They will have a problem. Someone will turn something off. Someone will go in and And they'll just, like, pull the data cord out, and this happened.
All right, teams that are worried they will blow the virtual draft, they would blow the real draft as well, true or false?
True.
Right.
True. 100% true.
There is a lot of cop-outs happening in the NFL right now.
Scapegoats.
They're like,
it's their fault.
There's a lot of NFL GMs that are worried that this is going to affect. What is really going to affect it? You can still have a conference call with everybody that would be in that room. We'll be on a Zoom meeting call. What is going to change? Honestly, tell me. Just the fact that you're not in the same room together?
Yep. That's it. It's inconvenient. Inconvenient.
Because I just still, and I sit there and I think, man, all of these teams that are complaining, oh, this is going to be so much more difficult. No, it's not.
Wait, it's going to be difficult. It's completely opposite of what they've ever done. Look, the boards are usually up. All their guys are right next to them. Director of college scouting, player personnel directors, all the scouts, your top scouts are sitting in there, your coaching staff, everybody with your general manager. They're all within shouting distance of each other. They're moving, they're shaking. All those things now have to be done virtual-wise and digital-wise, which is going to be hard. You're like, shut up, I'm on Zoom. No, you shut up. No, have you done a Zoom yet?
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, but you can talk over each other like there's no tomorrow. And then it's like, oh, this guy lost it. Your kid's in the background. Shut your dog up. Are you kidding me? All those things are going to come into the factor, and that's going to be irritating.
You think that kids and dogs will be a factor
in
the draft?
Oh, of course they will. Oh. Dad, pick this guy. Shut your kid up.
Go for a 4-hour walk.
Can you hear? Family. I can totally hear it right now.
You think that a kid or a dog will disrupt the
draft?
There
is going to be cameos upon cameos you've ever seen.
Cameos, yes. Disruption, I don't know.
Oh, there's going to be disruption. You mean to tell me that there's not going to get a kid walking in at a house?
I think most GMs are going to make sure the kids are in another house.
Good luck.
Why? Why good luck? I mean,
I'm trying to have fun here. Quit being so damn serious.
Like the paycheck, guys? I would love it if that happened.
You're the guy that always says you want chaos.
Let's
give me chaos.
Chaos would be fantastic. But let's get some chaos. I just think that these people are fear-mongering right now that the worst thing is going to happen. I think they're going to have it buckled up.
Yes. John Harbaugh.
Slim to none is how the NFL's Mike Garofalo has described Seahawks' chances of re-signing Jadeveon Clowney. Does Seattle need a dominant edge player to be a Super Bowl contender? Dominant edge player.
Did they have a dominant edge player when they won the Super Bowl?
They had a dominant defense, though. You had Cliff Averill and...
Not a dominant edge rusher. They had good pieces.
But they had a collection of...
Great.
Dominant defense.
Correct.
And I don't think you have that collection of guys right now.
Every year I always say is that the defensive line was the biggest glaring weakness for the Seahawks for me watching that team last year. They just couldn't. And of course, understanding that is pass rush and all of that is as a collective. I don't think they need Jadeveon Clowney to go to the Super Bowl, but I do think they need a much better upgrade all around.
Their defense that year... was what? Cliff Averill.
Was it Red?
Cam Chancellor. Brandon Mebane. Richard Sherman. Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. Red Bryant,
yeah. Went to Jacksonville after that.
Tony McDaniel.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
KJ Wright.
Yeah.
Bruce Irvin.
Yeah.
Chris Clemens. Well,
they got Bruce Irvin back, so there you go.
Mm-hmm. And Brandon Browner.
Yeah.
Malcolm Smith, too. Remember Malcolm
Smith? Yeah,
Malcolm
Smith. Pretty good interception off the tip.
You didn't have that dominant player, but what we're asking with the collection of with the defense they have right now, doesn't that mean you need like at least a dominant guy on the edge then because you don't have that collection of people anymore?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
And it's a guess.
Because I think Seattle and John Schneider, Pete Carroll have done a really good job this offseason. Jordan Simmons signed a split deal yesterday. Mm-hmm. That's for bolster the offensive line where you hate those contracts. Can you explain what those are again?
Well, split contracts work very, very annoyingly to the fact of, let's say you make $1 million and you make it to week 5. Well, a veteran... And if you agree to it, it now from week from the rest of the season, that means 11 weeks, you then split the contract the rest of the year. So you make your prorated amount from week one to week five off that $1 million. And then all of a sudden it goes, whoop, now from week six all the way through 16, you only make $500,000.
Yeah.
So that's called a split contract, and it sucks.
It is one thing. It's cap friendly, and it's for a guy who injuries have been a big part of his.
They just do it to guys that have never been injured before because they have leverage like that. Mm-hmm. They say, well, you've never been hurt, but we want you to sign a split contract.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Tex. I didn't even read Michael Bennett off that list.
Yeah,
Michael Bennett was on that defense too.
That's good.
Damn. They were so, so loaded. All right. I got more rapid fire questions for you. We'll get to them next. NFL rapid fire. If you have any NFL rapid fire questions, shoot them to us. 55305. We'll get to some of those as well. This is Dustin Cam on The Fan. Everybody on the streets right now is speeding in their car. It's natural when the song comes on. All right, we're doing NFL rapid fire. 55305, if you have any rapid fire questions you want answered. Have you seen the Chris Johnson story that came out? According to court documents, former NFL running back Chris Johnson.
No.
CJ2K, some may know.
No.
He's accused of paying a suspected gang member for a murder for hire plot. Remember in 2015, Chris Johnson was shot and his friend was killed in a drive-by shooting. Well, apparently Johnson hired a noted Florida gang member, as court documents say, to kill the gunman in that drive-by shooting. The murder for hire plot. And he hasn't been officially charged. These are just in court documents right now. But Chris Johnson, remember, he had the 2,000-yard season with the Tennessee Titans. It got me thinking, what is the most dominant single season in NFL history in your mind?
Single season ever?
Yeah. Most dominant single season.
It's hard to not say that Eric Dickerson is still, it's like I look at that and I go, that's just an incredible thing that he did. How big he was and how I know the running back was different. And then I go Barry Sanders. But
what about LaDainian Tomlinson? Remember when LaDainian Tomlinson had like 1,800 yards rushing but and 500, almost 600 yards receiving?
Yeah, and so I'm going to say for me, there's lots of things there, but I think for me it was Marshall Faulk in 1999, 2000 when he led the team in receiving and rushing. Yeah. And it was just nuts. He had almost 100 catches and he was like 1,500 yards rushing. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah. Now, for me, it's Tom Brady's 2007 where he threw for 50 touchdowns and they went 16-0 in the regular season, 18-1 overall. But he, he almost completed 70% of his passes that year.
Oh. That's pretty good.
My God. And then you have, other, like, we didn't mention, like, Michael Strahan, the 22.5 sacks.
The
laydown
sack? The Brett Favre laydown sacks?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Brett Favre was a guy's guy.
He's a guy's guy. You take it for the team here.
He was there for the people.
There for it.
But when you think of great seasons in NFL
long
history.
Arms. God, he has such long arms.
Was he hard to block?
Was he hard to block?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Played against Strahan a lot.
Okay. NFL rapid fire. There's this idea. Big Peter King did his Football Morning in America on Monday. And how many first round draft picks would you be willing to give up to get Joe Burrow?
None.
To trade for the Cincinnati Bengals? None. Huh?
None.
Really?
I'm not sold. I mean, I think he's a good player. I think Trevor Lawrence is better. So I don't know if I would draft him number one. I would trade all my picks. Cincinnati, if they have three first round picks like what Miami did. And if you're Cincinnati, it wouldn't take very many for me to trade out of that.
Mm-hmm. There's these rumblings now that Peter King in that Football Morning in America, he said there's some people within the Bengals organization that love Justin Herbert, like him a lot, and would be willing to trade out of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how many draft picks, first rounders, would it take to move up, five spots in the draft and get up from fifth to first?
Yeah.
for them, but you're saying none. Just roll with it. There's no.
I mean, I wouldn't turn down any offer at this point. I wouldn't turn my nose up at anything. If Cincinnati, you're taking all comers. You want to fully be engaged because they're at the time of this when this gets started. Somebody might just say we're all in on this. We're trading you all three for us to move up. You don't know or you how many or three straight years or somebody might dicka you like they did to us in 99 and give you the whole damn draft for one pick.
Mm.
You just never know.
I haven't asked you this. Who's your favorite player in this draft?
Chase Young. He's the only slam dunk that I think is slam dunk.
Yeah,
he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler. He is. I think he's better than both Bosa's.
Oof.
I do.
Damn, how about Ohio State, man?
I know. They get every pass rusher, it feels like.
Jeez Louise. And who's the D-line coach there?
I don't know. For Ohio State?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's a name that... Buck, look that up. Who the D-line coach at Ohio State is. It's a name that... It's going to drive me crazy, but we'll all remember it. You know who I really like? Isaiah Simmons, Clemson.
Yeah.
Linebacker from Clemson. I love him, but I'm with you on Chase Young. But I think he's going to be really damn good because he's that hybrid guy. You can kind of... You trust him in space, but he's physical enough to play, you know... On the outside linebacker position, where he can help you in run support, but cover a tight end.
The Redskins do not pick him. Everybody deserves to be fired.
Who, Chase Young at two?
Yeah.
Well, they still don't have a GM there. Then they're not going to until after the draft.
Well, isn't it Ron Rivera kind of de facto? I would say.
Yeah,
well,
but they said they're going to hire a GM after the draft. I don't know why you wouldn't bring someone in to do that draft.
Yeah.
All right.
Larry Johnson is the defensive line
Larry coach Johnson Sr. That's right. It is the running back's dad.
Grandmama?
No, not that Larry Johnson.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Not that one. Okay, there has been this floated out. We know the Rams. We talked about the Rams earlier and how they're not paying Todd Gurley and Clay Matthews money that they owed them. They're citing offset language. But.
Pay that man his money.
If you are, they do not have a first round pick for the next 2 years. Remember the Jalen Ramsey trade.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you are the Rams, do you try to trade into the first round?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks.
And get a wide receiver?
Yeah, Brandon Cooks.
Hmm?
Do everything you can to try to move some big, high priced guys that aren't worth it. I know Brandon Cooks has been on the trade block, been on the rumors. They're going to try to do everything they can. If they have pieces that they think they can move, they're going to do everything they can.
Boy, this is a loaded wide receiver draft when you look at...
Cheap talent.
Pick your Alabama receiver. You got Jerry Judy, Henry Ruggs. You got Justin Jefferson from LSU, CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma. Heck, T. Higgins and Michael Pittman Jr. And then the kid, what is it? Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. I mean, you've got a ton of really, really good wide receivers in this draft. It's going to be fun to see kind of how many receivers go.
I believe the over-under is 6.5 receivers in the first round.
It's funny how this league just continues to evolve. Look at pass rushers, wide receivers, corners. Remember when it was running backs?
Mm-hmm.
It's not too long ago. Oh, it does. It feels like eons ago.
I wonder.
Now it's edge. We've created a whole new genre of football player.
Oh,
yeah. Edge. That's a real football player. What? Really? Edge? Strange.
I'm looking at the NFL draft. I just pulled up the NFL draft rankings. Do you even know who the number one rated running back is in this draft?
Isn't he the Wisconsin's running back?
No.
What? Really?
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor's the third best back in this.
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
DeAndre Swift. Really? The running back out of Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
He's 5'8", 212 pounds.
And
then J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah. He's my favorite out of LSU. He's by far my favorite.
And then Zach Moss is the sixth best running back in this draft. They're saying that he's got the 58th overall best ranking in this draft. Running backs, man, they used to be what we think of receivers now.
Used to be. Still got to run the football, though.
All right, your texts, your questions. How about this? Do you think Anthony Gordon will be successful in the NFL similar to Gardner Minshew? He is accurate.
It's a tough. That's such a tough question. Slight of build. Not the best arm. I mean, that's so difficult. I mean, Minshew kind of had. He's got a little more thick. He's got. As I'm going to use your drop, he's got thick butt.
He's got a thick butt.
He's a little thicker.
Yeah, bud.
Yeah, Gordon just, I don't
know. Kyler Murray's got that big old thick butt.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. Just, Gordon just, he's just very slight. And I think if you're going to be a slight guy, you better figure out how you sling the football. And that's kind of what, maybe not as athletic. I don't want to say he doesn't have a shot, but we haven't got a Washington State quarterback that's kind of, you've looked at it in the last few years, waiting for these guys kind of to stand. They always have good quarterback play, incredible good quarterback play. But translating to the NFL, it's you got to put some weight on, man, and get stronger.
Somebody we haven't talked about very much, and rightfully so. He's kind of the luster's come off of him. Everywhere he's been successful. He did a fantastic job of when he got benched, handling it with grace. What do you think of Jalen Hurts as an NFL prospect?
He's going to be along the same lines as Lamar Smith, former longtime running back. See, I played with him with the Saints. Yeah, he's right there with Lamar Jackson's that everyone's going to say he doesn't have those other talents, and he's going to be the prove me wrong guy. I wouldn't be shocked if he snuck into the first round. I wouldn't be shocked.
The first round?
Super late. Wow. Super, super late. Now, I would bet he's probably second or third rounder, but for God's sake, somebody drafted Tebow at 17.
There is, I saw this take on Jalen Hurts, and I absolutely loved it. It said, you could use Jalen Hurts like the Saints use Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
He has the frame for
big
it. He's 6'1", 225. You could use him in a variety of ways, and he seems willing to
do
it.
He's only 6'1"? I thought he was taller than that.
6'1", 225.
Huh.
But you
6'1"?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at his draft combines.
I thought he was a little bigger. Okay.
Huh. So, no, he is 6'1", 225. You know how big Tua is?
Well, just, yeah, he's 6'1".
No, he's 6 feet tall.
Well, I know, but they find a way to squish him.
Squish you?
Yeah.
Squish you down. Maybe that's why we thought Jalen was bigger, though, is because he was taller than Tua. And you just think of these guys, like when you look at quarterbacks now, you think all of them are like 6'3". Just because that is that prototype.
Oh.
All right, 55305, that is the fan text line. Tom Brady talked with Howard Stern, and we talked a lot about legacy and his relationship with Bill Belichick. How about his other relationship, though? That work versus family balance. It's a tough thing for all of us to juggle. Hear what Brady had to say after Buck with SportsCenter. As you heard in Buck's update, got a full-on bracket now for the horse competition. We will discuss that coming up. At some point in all of our lives, we have this conversation with our significant others in our family. The balance of work and life. Trying to fit everything in is a very tough thing. And yesterday, in a two-hour interview with Howard Stern, Tom Brady discussed, I mean, everything from smoking weed in high school and saying he felt like he was letting his dad down to his relationships with Bill Belichick, his legacy, and how he feels about that. If you missed our conversation about that, we talked about it. You listened to it on the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. But it was the one that kind of resonated with a lot of people. And this is where Brady felt like a real human for a lot of folks out there, is when he was talking about his life kind of going through what we all go through.
You know, a couple of years ago, we had, you know, she didn't feel like I was doing my part for the family, you know, and she felt like I would play football all season and she would take care of the house. And then all of a sudden when the season would end it, I'd be like, great, let me get into all my other business activities. Let me get into, you know, my football training. And she's sitting there going, well, when are you going to do things for the house? When are you going to take the kids to school and do that? Right. And that was a big part of our marriage that I had to like check myself, because she's like, I have goals and dreams too. It's just not to, you know, do these things either. So you better start, you know, taking care of things at the house.
That's a pretty real moment from Tom Brady. And something that we can, I mean, I think all of us can relate to having those conversations.
I think so. Not all of us are married to an incredible, not just a super, but she's a business person. She's a brand. She is an incredible leader for her country. She does a lot philanthropically. When we talk about goals, I mean, she is, you might consider her more worldly successful than her husband. So I find that because, you know, as football players, we're always like, this is us. It's all about us. It's all about us. And then you have her kind of just go, hey, just second there, Tommy. I got a few things I'd like to accomplish, and gave him a little bit of a reset button, which is, yeah, we can all learn a lot from that, especially as guys.
She makes $30 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
$30 million. Think about that. She makes more money than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, that she, and when he's having those conversations, I mean, now granted, the numbers and the amount of money that both of them are making are, they pale in comparison to what we go through as, you know, normal people, but the conversations are still the same.
Yeah. No, they're normal. You just happen to have different incomes.
It's hopes, it's dreams. It's where our lives are going and who is pulling a lot of the weight. And to think of, you know, Tom Brady is having those conversations with his wives. I think that...
Wife.
Maybe wives. I don't know. Maybe he's going Tiger King on him. Yeah, maybe he's got... Maybe they got a real open relationship. I don't know. But did Tom Brady come off after that interview when he's talking about all those things as a more likable person, do you think? More relatable to everybody that's out there?
That's an open question for maybe for I have a biased opinion on mine, so I don't know if I can answer that. I really don't. You'd have to ask.
Well, what is your biased opinion of him then?
I mean, for my brief amount of time with him, I don't know him as a dad and a father now. I just have a different kind of relationship or a respect for him. Just because I got to see maybe a little bit of the underside of it before it got super popular and before he became somebody different. We're completely different humans. We were at 24 and they are at 42.
Mm-hmm.
You're smarter, you're aged, you're like a fine wine sometimes. Or maybe you take all those experiences and is he relatable? I don't think anybody can understand what it's like to be Tom. I don't know how you be relatable once you're the, it doesn't, that's a diff, such a weird concept to go, what does that mean to be relatable? Is he human? Yeah. If you scratch him, he bleeds. Does he care about things? Yeah. Is he emotional? Sure. Is Bill Belichick relatable? Do you know people like Bill? I know a lot of people like Bill Belichick.
But here is the thing: is that Tom Brady was seen as an unlikable person because he was
according
a member of the Patriots. I mean, if you think about it, that was one of the, because of their success, because of his success. How many times have we heard and seen, you know, Brady is a cheater out there? You know, the Patriots are cheaters in those sorts of takes, and he was seen as a villain at times in the large stretches of his career because of not just the skirting of the rules, but their dominance in a 20-year run in the NFL. And that is, he went from being unlikable to a lot of the takes of commentators, both professionally, like journalists, and fans on social media, and, you know, reading comments on certain sections of articles about the interview that he had with Stern, is that people are now pulling for Tom Brady because of the interview, because it's like, oh my gosh, he's not just this robot that's out there on the field.
Well, it's different. And I think that one of the funny things is you were listening to maybe the comments of is that the Patriot cloak was removed. So you had to interview a certain way. And I've said this story multiple times about the proper way to communicate. Once you're a Patriot, you have to have a certain way you answer questions. You are given a pamphlet of how to talk, how to interview, what you can and what you cannot talk about. It is a dictatorship to the elite level under Bill Belichick. And when that cloak was removed and we finally got to see, it's not that it was a hidden factor. It's just that there was not a guarded factor either. There was a side that just, when you say more relatable, but maybe there was a way that Tom Brady finally felt free. I feel free now. Mm-hmm. I have removed from that. Can you imagine being 42 years old? 42 with hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, a gorgeous wife and a family, yet never being able to feel like you can be yourself.
Right.
Can you imagine living in that kind of strange, bizarro land? And I believe that's what he was going through probably for the last at least decade, where he went, I can't believe this. Every day, I can't be me. And that's why he did his Facebook, because he was allowed to be himself in that. And he showed things to you and all of us out there that he wasn't allowed to do as a Patriot. And he said, oh, this is my off time. I'm going to show you more of it. And I appreciate that.
Isn't that everything that you just outlined? Isn't it amazing that it lasted for 20 years then? That he's a superstar in a league where he's considered the GOAT, and he was able to put that aside for 2 decades?
Yeah, I think Tom Brady is probably the most resilient football player I've ever seen. To be able to humble yourself of a sense of constantly work. He fell into it's compartmentalized, but it's that, what's that Stockholm syndrome, you know, when you're in something, you don't know any different. You're like, well, this is just how it is. I mean, Bill Belichick tells us to do. He tells us to walk here. He tells us to go here. Say this. You need Stockholm syndrome. And then suddenly that you just there's like life outside of this.
Falling in love with your captor.
You mean I can go and somebody can have a beer at training camp or I can actually laugh, or no days off means I actually get a Monday off? What? And that's what he gets to feel now. And I'm excited for him to have that feeling.
It is pretty cool that you kind of see that, as you said, the cloak has been taken off of him. And that's a great way to put it, is because he's able now to just kind of show who he is. I mean, he swore a few times in the interview with Howard Stern.
You know how much trouble you would be in if you would have had that interview as a Patriot?
He talked about Gronk being naked in the locker room.
That not surprised me. Everybody's got naked guy.
At all time.
Our naked guy was Torrey Holt. Torrey Holt couldn't stop himself. I mean, there was never a towel anywhere near him. He just loved it. He was prayed all around. He would walk out of the shower, and the towels were always across the other end of the locker room at the open window to the equipment room where the towels would sit and the grays. The grays are the gray shorts. If you just ask
what are the grays?
Just ask any NFL player and just say, hey, what are the grays? And the guys will go, oh, yeah, the gray shorts. It used to wear them as underwear. You took them home. You stole them all the time. But Torrey Holt was a naked guy. He'd just, he's right through there.
Old naked guy.
Yeah, but everybody's got naked guy in the locker room. That's every, well, not now, but that's every workout facility from about 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock now when the silver sneakers come in. They're all hanging out. Yeah. And when I mean hanging out, I mean hanging.
A little droopy.
You just don't care anymore.
No, you don't.
You don't.
All right. The bracket is out. We've got horse competition bracket finalized for the NBA. Oh, boy. And the state of Oregon is in the same boat as the state of Washington was just a couple of days ago. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, are you ready for some horse? We all say we want live sports back on. Competition. We just want to see people compete. Will you be watching Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern, when you have a horse competition featuring 4 NBA players, 2 former NBA players, a current WNBA player, and a former WNBA player? Are you going to watch?
Yeah, no.
You won't?
No. It's no.
So it's just not competition that you want. You want games back.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I missed the games.
Yeah.
This might make me sound like a snob. I would have watched this for the right draw. I don't think any of the players there have that draw.
I agree 150 million%.
I mean, and again, not to sound like a jerk, but were like Steph and Reggie Miller and Ray Allen, were they all too busy right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Ray's too busy growing out his hair.
He's growing out his hair.
True.
Fair. Your field is, here's the bracket. First round matchups, Trey Young versus Chauncey Billups, Tamika Catchings versus Mike Conley, Zach LaVine takes on Paul Pierce, while Chris Paul takes on current WNBA player Allie Quigley. Now, I agree with you, Buck. Trae Young is a guy I'd tune in for because he's a shooter. But if you had, like, if it was Steph, Dame, LeBron.
Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Stars.
If maybe those were your three, and then you can throw Trae Young in there if you want to.
This is just like the dunk contest here.
I know.
He says nobody wants to look bad.
But then if you had, you know, like, you know, I don't know Allie Quigley very
It's like they think
well.
It's the dunk contest because they're including Zach LaVine.
I know, it's so true.
Right.
What's that, he can shoot?
Now he can, I guess.
I guess.
But you have, like, if it was your WNBA players were like Diana Taurasi and, you know, Ella Delladon, didn't she win the MVP this past year? If you had them and maybe Sabrina Ionescu in there as players for the WNBA, then I would watch. Like Ray Allen, that's a great point. If you're going to put former players in, why not Ray Allen? You know, have these guys in it. And that, to me, is where it kind of, it loses a little bit of its luster because it is like the dunk contest, like the three-point competition where you sit there and you look at it and you go, where's the star power? And the cool thing about the three-point contest lately is that you have had the best shooters in the game participating in it. Like, Steph hasn't backed down from it. He's been in that competition. Klay Thompson is in it year in and year out. You have the best shooters that want a piece of that action. And in this, this is where it's falling flat, is it's not the best of the best. Do you think, though, that maybe this is just the first round of many that they go through?
I hope so. Maybe they're trying. But you can't fault them for trying. Yeah. Trying something new. It's outside the box. And you're not going to shoot it down. They'll probably get a really good rating.
Yeah.
Tell you the truth.
A coin toss at the start of each game will determine who shoots first, with more senior player calling heads or tails. Players must describe each shot attempt.
More senior players.
Specifying the type of score they intend to make before taking the shot, such as bank shot or swish. Dunking is prohibited. First player in each game to accumulate the letters horse after failing to match five shots.
Does dunking have to be stated?
Yes, because of Zach LaVine.
If he's going up against a WNBA player...
Yeah, they're just saying he can't go out and do a dunk and be like, top that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or doing it against Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce would try to jump and poop his pants again.
Do you ever see Paul Pierce's high school dunk competition video?
No. I saw it for the first time like last week.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
He has no vertical leap. Zero.
Nope. Well, that's who Zach LaVine's got in the first round is Paul Pierce.
No.
Maybe you just do like a 360 bank shot from three.
I will be somewhat interested to see what strategy these people try to, because there are different ways of going about this. Cam talked about this recently, how, you know, Cam's strategies start short, little bank shots.
Just the basics.
Once you have control,
make them nervous.
You know, make sure that you maintain control, don't just go chuck one up from half court.
Like if Shaq was in it, would you just shoot free throws?
Yeah. You could. My dad
find their
used
weakness.
My dad used to always knock me out on the eyes closed free throw.
I always go to the left-handed layups or the left-handed reverse layups. You're like, oh, that's not left hand.
The intrigue will
get
be
better with your left hand.
You can't do that against pros, though, because they and hey, don't rule out Chauncey Billups and Paul Pierce in this, because they got old man skills now. Old man skills are something you cannot ignore in the game of horse.
I would be most intimidated to face anybody right now, Reggie Miller.
Why?
I just think Reggie Miller's just, for some goofy reason, I think Reggie Miller just has every obscure shot in his bag.
You know, Dame would be a tough one, too, because he just camp out at 35 feet where know he puts up 100 of those a day.
I saw Dame was talking about in his training. He's like, I feel comfortable from half court. Like, I feel it pulling up from half court, very comfortable.
I'd be okay with it.
He's
going to
start doing that when he gets back. Like, what?
I'd be okay with it.
Really?
Yeah.
What would his percentage have to be for you to be okay with him doing that whenever he wants?
Never.
What if he shot 40% from out there?
Come on.
Like, what if he did?
You don't want Dame pulling up from half court. Come on, guys.
I agree. But if he
shot 40%. You don't want it, but you wouldn't mind it.
He just said, I might incorporate it.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't. You'd do it.
But
at this
why?
Point, because it's effective.
Is it?
If you're defending him if it's an uncontested shot from there and he feels confident he can shoot it. I mean, is it a shot you want every time down the floor? Is it your preferred shot? No. But if they're jumping him when he gets to 30 feet.
Half court, huh?
If they're jumping him from 30 feet, well, where was the eliminator? The shot against the Thunder from?
I would think he would just...
Not that far away.
Dribble around him and... Yeah. Anyway.
When two guys are jumping you, it's tough.
Strange game. Bring in the four-point shot.
There we
go. Let's go.
That's it.
Four-point right line.
We mentioned this when the WIAA canceled their spring sports. The OSAA has done the same with the cancellation of the remainder of the school year for 2020. And the sentiment is the same.
Very sorry.
Hearts really go out to all the competitors, but especially those seniors that are out there. Mm-hmm. This was your last shot. And now, you know, this is in the Northwest. It's affecting us. But nationwide, this is going to be the trend that we see. So tough for those seniors.
I'm very sorry for all those guys and gals that are dealing with it. Stay strong. Don't quit.
Up next, you got The Herd with Colin Cowherd. 9 to noon, noon to 3, Dirt and Sprague. 3 to 7, primetime with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you Friday right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.